So yeah, now you get another Rosebreed template slide, and you'll get one more because all three of us are two more after that because Young Yang and Tim and I, we're all Rosebreed trainees, which was a great experience, and obviously you're getting to see some of the fruits of that. And today I'd like to share some of the work that we've done at Washington State University in collaboration with the University of Arkansas and Clemson University, that we've been trying to harness some of that data that Rosebreed collected for the development, validation, and application of DNA tests for predicting fruit quality, disease resistance, and other fruit traits, and in some other rosaceae tree fruit as well. So first, I'll go through the development of some DNA tests, why we do that. I'll then take you from QTL through to routine DNA test deployment with an example of G7 Flav, which is for peach acidity and sweetness. And then, I'll go through a few other new peach DNA tests that are in the works currently. So, why develop DNA tests? And preaching to the choir here, but fruit breeding is needed. So just to make the point, who here would rather eat Red Delicious over Honeycrisp? So, Honeycrisp, right? So I didn't see any hands there. So with times changing, preferences changing, the climate changing, that's why we need fruit breeding, obviously. But breeding is expensive, it's resource intensive, it's long term, and partly the long term is why it's expensive. And, you know, a lot of breeders tend to rely on some serendipity to make their best discoveries. And so how can we make fruit breeding more sustainable? I believe we can through utilizing DNA information. So just a quick look at some literature, we find that DNA information can increase the genetic gain per breeding cycle, can increase selection efficiency, can reduce operating costs, and it can accelerate the development of novel new cultivars. So we set out to use currently available genomic information to develop DNA tests for direct use in breeding to improve overall breeding efficiency. And so just to give you an example of how we do this in the pipeline, I'll go with a new peach DNA test for acidity and sweetness. So all this begins in the Rosebreed project with a lot of phenotyping, in this case for titratable acidity and sweetness. Used a standardized phenotyping protocol across three seasons at the University of Arkansas, Clemson University, Texas A&M, and the University of California, Davis. And all of this was on a large pedigree-connected germplasm set, 700-plus seedlings, 240 cultivars, and selections. This was followed by using the International Peach SNP Consortium 9K array, genotyping, which was then fed into the FluxQTL software to do some pedigree analysis where the G7 flavor locus was discovered. And it was found that across Rosebreed material, this explained about 20% of acidity variance and 10% of sweetness phenotypic variance. And although that may seem a little low to some of you, it's a very important trait to breeders, so it warranted developing a SNP marker. And from that, we had three different haplotypes which were validated for association with high, medium, and low levels of acidity and sweetness. But SNP array technology is still somewhat expensive, and it still requires a lot of analysis. So to get this into routine breeding use, it needed to be converted to a platform that is breeder understandable and breeder affordable, which is a very different level. So we set out to design some SSR markers for this locus using some free GDR software such as GBrowse. On average, you know, we did about five different primer sets. We tested them all for specificity using some other free software. And those that were specific to the region we were targeting, we moved on for further testing. So did this in the lab at WSU, ran it on polyacrylamide gels. In this case, there's five different tests we ran there. But what usually happens is none of them are perfect, so that can't pull out all the alleles, other issues of improper amplification. So in this case, I combined two of those tests there, and it resulted in a powerful test where I'm pulling out all of the alleles that match the original SNP haplotypes. And then we subsequently termed it G7 Flav. So it matched the SNP haplotypes, so that serves as an initial validation because those SNP haplotypes were associated already with phenotypic levels of acidity and sweetness. But just like you had to convert from a SNP marker to an SSR marker, we had to convert from a gel platform to an ABI platform because it's a lot more high throughput, reduces your costs, and your technician just won't go crazy after a whole season of running gels in the lab. So we did this, and just a quick example of an individual there with high and low allele, and then there's the ABI output, a whole lot easier to work with. And then getting to some of the meat of what we discovered here is that looking across Rosebreed and University of Arkansas germplasm in this case, we did see that the low genotype, so had both low alleles, was significantly lower in acidity and sweetness. And just as importantly, though, we found that there were both an abundant level of the high allele and the low allele within the Arkansas program. Because if you didn't have any of the high allele, this test would be of no use in the program. Very important. But, as some of you probably know, there is another locus out there for acidity in peach that explains quite a bit of the phenotypic variance, and it's the D locus, and there's already a test available that we tweaked just a little bit here, and we realized to maximize utility we had to combine this with our DNA test, so G7 flavor plus the D locus ends up with a peach acidity DNA test. And in, depending on population within Arkansas, we were explaining 75 to 85% of phenotypic variance. And going back to Tim's talk just a second ago, that means we're explaining the majority of what is heritable for acidity in peach. So that's pretty exciting. But diving a little deeper, what's really important for John Clark in the Arkansas program is the low acid individuals, because he loves the low acidity. So this is just grouped by D locus low acidity. And we can see when we look at G7 flavor, we're able to pull out distinguished individuals within that low acid category. So we can get those high individuals that have enough acidity to please most people instead of being that kind of bland low acid that most people think of low acid peaches. And then again, the alleles are frequent in both the low acid D locus individuals and the high acid. And so this is all great, and Dr. Clark is pretty excited. Obviously, it's not all great, but we're getting there, and he's very excited about using this, and he's already using it for some parent selection for next year, and he's going to use this next season for seedling screening. But there's some other new DNA tests as well that we're working on. First is for maturity date. We've designed a DNA test, G-Format SSR. We've developed it, and it started just like the other one as a SNP haplotype marker, and we've converted it to SSR. In this case, it was three markers combined to pull out all six alleles, ranging from very early to extra late. And in some Arkansas populations, this was a 50-day range in harvest date. And so those individuals there, top one has a very early and a very late allele, and the one below it is two medium alleles. And then currently we're validating this across more germplasm. We're converting it to the ABI platform, and it should be ready for next season. Following that is some fruit bacterial spot work. This was mainly done by Terrence Frett out of the University of Arkansas and Ksenia Gasek at Clemson University. And so this is two SSRs combined for two different loci and two different linkage groups, where you're seeing a very significant difference between resistant and susceptible individuals. But currently, when I tried to combine these together in the lab, I was running into some issues. So that's where we are at the moment, but refinement is ongoing, and I expect this to be ready for 2015. And if you're interested in fruit bacterial spot resistance, please see poster number 252. It's got some great information about the trait and the work we're doing. So next is some blush and flesh color, where we have a DNA test designed. And here it is on a gel output, where it's combined with an existing test for flesh color. And so we're calling this the peach color DNA test. So I can tell you that top individual is going to have a high level of blush and white, whereas the one below it is going to have a medium level of blush and be yellow. And so pretty exciting. And then when this is run across Arkansas selections, you can see that the white and yellow allele for flesh color is prevalent. But then for blush, there's a very small number of the low blush allele. And actually, it's not found in any of his selections as homozygous. Obviously, he's selected against that low blush phenotype. And so that kind of gears how this test would be used in his program. There's a lot of crosses that are homozygous high blush by homozygous high blush. So for seedling selection, it'd have absolutely no use. It would just be a waste of money. So, and then some more work. This is mostly being done by Alejandro Salgado at the University of Arkansas. You can see her poster 249 for some more details. Great poster, and this is another DNA test. This one is real exciting for level of ethylene evolution, and we're combining it with an existing DNA test for flesh type. So this individual, for example, we're able to tell you that it's melting and freestone, and that it's a high ethylene producer. And what the high ethylene producer means is that what we're calling slow melting flesh, won't get into that because it's a degree of controversy around that that title right now, but the slow melting flesh, non-melting and non-softening produced significantly less ethylene, and the slow melting flesh have a delayed ethylene, which in our study found that it actually is maintains a firmness. You can pick a little firmer, got higher quality, pretty exciting. But again, please see Alejandro's poster for some exciting details on that. Finally, I'll leave you with mealiness, which is done based on some University of California Davis work. We have a good test here, but it's awaiting some phenotypic validation in broader germplasm because the initial study was done in just a biparental population. And then, just to mention, we're doing this in sweet cherry, some traits, and apple. And if you're interested in those, please see me. I could talk your ear off for quite a long time about all of those. So, just some outcomes. We have some DNA tests for routine use. All of those mentioned, we plan to have ready for 2015 seedling screening. We have breeding programs that are excited to use these tests, which really is why I'm here to talk to you, because these are available, and I just hope anyone can use these in their program. And then we hope to set the stage for routine marker-assisted breeding and encourage more people to develop DNA tests so that we can really move forward with this. And then all these acknowledgments, specifically collaborators at University of Arkansas in Clemson. And that with time for a question or two.